Now, would you begin by telling me your name and where you live right now?
My name is Velma Velasco. I live at 790 West Main Street in Northville, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you lived in Northville? And we'll start from there.
Since 1922.
Mm-hmm. How old were you then?
I was born in 13. So I was what?
Six.
I was a little older than that.
Yeah, I was going to say 10, but I guess it would be 9.
Okay. Why did your family move to Northville?
Because my father bought a jewelry store. We had a small place up in north of Grand Rapids, a little place called Sand Lake. And he wanted to be in a larger spot. So he came down here and bought Johnson's Jewelry Store. It was Lucius Blake's jewelry store after that.
Where was that located?
124 North Center, where Betty Sweets and Treats is now.
Mm-hmm. Same building?
No, the first building was burned down. He spent one Christmas time down in the other end of Center Street, down below the hill there. Then when they built the new building, he moved back up the hill. It was right next door to Northville Record. Northville Record was in that building, yeah. Next door. And then, he was right there then for 52 years.
Okay, now, why don't you proceed to tell me what you remember from the time you first came to Northville?
I remember we lived on Roger Street. At that time, Roger Street top was stopped at the end of what's now Potomac Drive. And I could look out my upstairs window, see the big old clock in the Methodist Church steeple, and hear it chime every night at an hour. And it was also an old... wasn't electrified then. And once a year, my dad had to go up there and clean that clock with some kind of cleaning fluid. And I held the ladder down below because he had to climb up in the steeple. And that clock had to be pulled on a rope once a day to wind it.
Did your dad do that too? Or did somebody
from
the church?
No, somebody from the church did that.
Now that
but
church
kept
is,
it going.
Is that... Where is that church?
Methodist Church? No.
Yeah.
Same church is over here on the 8 Mile Road in Taft.
But where the clock was, though, is that the same building?
Same or? Building, yes.
And that is now?
Christian Church. What is it?
Open Door Christian Church.
That's what it is now, yeah. But if they ever do anything in Northville, and they throw that clock away, I think they should be shot. Because that clock is the most important thing that the Historical Society should have.
Now, you're the first one that has told me that. I'm sure the other people know that, but I didn't realize
that
clock dated back that far.
Oh, yes. Yes, it did. Yeah.
Okay, just proceed as you were before telling me few of the things.
Well, anyway, I told you the building burned down where my father was. It was replaced by this brick building with three stores. And it backed up to the Spagnola Grocery and Sweet Store. And I played in that backyard with the Spagnolas. We had a big old walnut tree in the back, and we kids had a great time in that. Anyway, over the years then, things kept changing.
Let's back up just a moment. What did your family consist of? Were you the only one?
I had a family of mom and dad and one sister. And my sister went east with her husband in World War II to be with him. And she had pneumonia, and she was treated by a doctor out there with a new drug called sulfanilamide. And when she was treated, she was worse. She got worse. So then they give her another big dose, not thinking her pneumonia was worse, and it killed her.
Oh my goodness!
And this doctor, and she's 24 years old. And this doctor told me that that was what killed her. And later on, after I worked at the clinic at Atkinson's, I found out that from one of the specialists there that many people were killed with the first derivative of sulfa. It crystallized the kidneys. But after that, they refined it and changed things to where sulfa got to be a good medicine, I guess. But she was my only...
Of course, no one even... thought it in those days of...
It was an experimental drug.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't really know, you know, the consequences. But anyway, that was my chance.
No such thing as malpractice heard of back then, was it?
So I thought back on that, and I thought, oh my gosh. But he was very honest with me, that doctor never tried to fool me. So we just brought her back and buried her right here.
So it was just you and your sister then, your family?
Yeah, and mother and dad, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this old guy came along. Real? Okay.
Well, the old guy came along.
No, I used to be young guy then, was it? Let's see now. Oh. And I remember on the corner of Center and Main was Mike Gunsel's drugstore. And they used to serve...
What drugstore? I didn't hear.
Mike Gunsel. And they used to serve... they had a soda fountain. They served sundaes, ice cream, soft drinks in there. And so there was a... Well, like a candy store now, or, you know, a soft food place. Besides, he had drugs, of course. Had bar stools, yeah, he had a regular bar.
I've seen.
You've seen those too, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, that was there on the corner center. And
is that where the Williamsburg...
yes, that's where it is.
Story,
yeah,
now.
That's where it is now. So anyway, it was then it was Mike Gunsel's drugstore. And let's see now, what else have I got here that I thought might be interesting? Oh, I have the building where the Northville City Hall is now belonged to the Shelton's company, the Shelton's family, which also owned the building my father was in. When they, I don't know if the City Hall rented it from them or how, but they did, or bought it from them. But it was the Filkins family that had it.
Filkins.
Filkins. They also owned this property on the corner of Dunlap and Rogers. And that was, for a long time, a Methodist parsonage. Hey, Felton's?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he was. He was a very, very good organist for some church in Detroit. You're right. Forgot that part.
Guy.
Guy Felton's, yeah, that's right. Well, I will, honey. I've got a lot of stuff here. Oh, another thing that I'll bet not many people remember. There was an old colored man that lived down in the corner of, it was Northville Road. If you go around the corner, it's where the Moose Lodge is now. and he had an old Harrison cart that he used to make deliveries. He'd deliver anything, so he'd pick up things at the depot and bring them to you, you know. And he did all kinds of yard work and things. So that old horse and just one horse and a wagon. And
did he live alone, or he was lived his family alone. Here?
Nope, he didn't have anyone else.
There were no other black people in
Northville? No, that was the first black man I ever seen around Northville.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much. I don't know where they, no, well, Salem had some black people, but I mean, not Northville. No, not Northville. And, anyway, he was quite a guy, and he was very, very nice. We thought a lot of him. Everybody thought a lot of him, you know.
Now, you attended school here. Tell me a little bit about.
Well, I attended school from the time I was in the sixth grade. I can't remember what grade I was in when they came. But I attended school here until I graduated in 1931.
Graduated from Northville High, did you?
Graduated from Northville High, so it was, yeah. Then I went to Ypsilanti Normal. Going to be a teacher. Well, first of all, I wanted to be a doctor because my family are all medically inclined. I mean, Dr. Holcomb was not a friend. He was a friend, but he was also a relative. All my family were doctors and lawyers. So that I wanted to go be a doctor. But no woman could be in the medical college. So.
Sure, it was hard.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't let you in. So I went, well, now what am I going to do? So somebody said, well, you can be a nurse or a teacher. I went, well, I'm going to be a nurse. I guess I want to be a teacher. So I went to Ypsilanti Normal. Well, then I decided, when I got to practice teaching, I decided, I don't think that's for me either. So I'll be a librarian. So I went on through the end of the course, but anyway, I didn't get to do that either, because when I went, I got a summer job at Cadillac Watercraft, and I had an office manager there that was really, really good at that. So he, every day of my life that I lived, that I worked down there, he was the devil. Finally, when I, in the fall, when I was leaving, I said to him, well, I'm leaving. He said, I said, I'm sorry, I don't think I did a very good job. He said, oh, yes, you did, Velma. He said, what you should do is go into business. He said, you know, he said, you're the only one here this summer that I thought was worth anything. I said, what? Anyway, so back, I began looking around at business then. And lo and behold, I went to the girls' business school. Well, that worked pretty good. I worked in, they gave me a job right at Burroughs. Then I worked for Chrysler for a while, and girls, I don't know why, I just think, oh, they got me the job. And then they went on a strike, and I went, not for me. So I went back to girls and I said, I need another job, and they said, come right here. So I did that, and stayed right there for a long time. Then finally,
I think he told me on the phone that at one point you had a restaurant in town, but that after your marriage?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
We'll get to that in a few minutes. Then.
Anyway, after all these other experiences, I worked for Cadillac, I worked for Burroughs, worked for Chrysler, and finally came back to Northville. and work for Atchison's clinic.
What did you do at the clinic?
Well, I didn't tell you that part. When I went to the, I went and got a medical assistance course. And at the clinic, I was a little of everything, office manager, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
where was the clinic?
Right on the corner of Dunlap and Linwood, where the bed and breakfast is now, the Atchison House.
Mm-hmm.
That was our clinic. And that's where I kind of wound up. And I was very happy with that kind of work. But then I went into the restaurant business.
What sort of things? Let's back up a moment. What sort of cases or what sort of things did the clinic do? I mean,
they
was it an all-around
general practitioner?
Uh-huh.
And they had three regular doctors in partnership. But then we also had all kinds of specialists come in. And we had Dr. Ashton was very, very forward-thinking. And he had specialists come in and give us lectures, the whole staff. What is it, Doc, about once a month? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole group of us would get together, all his help. And these doctors, these specialists would give us lectures so that we all knew a little bit about everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, what changes from the time you came here until the time you worked for the clinic, what changes did you see take place? For instance, what other businesses were in town? You mentioned the drugstore and your dad's jewelry store and some things. What
another business?
Yeah.
Well, let's see now. The old opera house was there, where Bruce Royce places now. And in that place, they had a lot of old things like, I remember a pipe organ that when the Ritchie Boys bought when they decided to clean it out. And let's see, there was Hill's Meat Market on Main Street. And let's see what else. Hmm? Hill's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
You want
two steps, there's three, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, approximately.
What, do you want to speak up a little bit?
It's a typical old meat market.
Mm-hmm.
They cut the meat you want, and
yeah, they cut it right out.
A lot of times they cut it right out. You see the whipping right out the bag.
And there was Smith's store on Main Street, and there was a dime store on Main Street. Where the
Smith
store was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Woodward's dime store though back then.
Yeah.
Woodward's was, yeah.
Now at what point here, because your husband remembers quite a while back,
oh, sure.
How did how did the two of you meet, and at what point did you two join up, and I can start talking about
what we did. Oh, yes, that would be interesting, I'm sure. Right in the center of Main and Center Street, where they come together, there was a big old bandstand. And there was a trolley car in Urban, came from Detroit, out around down Griswold to the Ford factory, right out Main Street, to that bandstand. And then it stopped, and it filled up with people that wanted to go to Detroit. They would back up, go down there, and pour back on out around to Detroit.
Did it turn around there, you mean?
It backed down. Comes in, and it backed down. That was the end of the tracks. But this bandstand was right there in the center of the street, and every Saturday night, they would have the band would come and play, and they'd have street dances. And they closed the Center Street off from Dunlap to Main, to Main, and then they'd have a street dance. And we'd kick it all over, jive it up. it went down around to Grand River, and then I think it one went into Detroit, and the other one went out.
Which way to Grand River?
Right up around 8 Mile.
Oh.
Up Griswold, and right on down 8 Mile, and it circled around. It came out there where the old, what was that? Well, the Interurban Bars, wasn't it? Right there in Farmington. And it split there, I think, didn't it? And the one went down Grand River.
Where
the winery is.
Oh!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other track, there was another one, that came from Wayne. And it went right straight down around and out Northville that way, out right out 7, or out Northville Road, didn't it? And I don't know where that is. I think it went to Michigan Avenue. But I don't know. We never went very much that way, so I'm not familiar with that way. But then they were there for many years. Well, they gave up on it.
Well, I remember the tracks were down until I came home after
the war.
After the war, and I was still in the service. And the tracks were didn't take them up.
Well, for a long time after discontinuing the service, the tracks were there.
The same way in Detroit when they took the streetcars
out. Yeah,
right. They
same,
left the tracks
the same way, yeah. Couldn't believe that either.
Let me see if I'm picking up your voice.
There used to be a big depot right across the tracks right here on and also there used to be Eddie Stinson Airplane Factory on Cooley Street. And there used to be a big old furniture factory, Globe Furniture, and some of the big, huge oak furniture that was, that was later. It was probably glass came in later. But that big Globe Furniture factory was there, and they made this solid oak furniture, and many of the churches in this area. In fact, the OLV, Catholic Church, right here in America, had a lot of the pews that they sold from there. And this Globe burned down. And then they, after that, and they sold it to Mr. Bellinger, and he put his offices in there. And
is that the same place where the auto wash is now? Because that name is Bellinger.
It is, but Bellinger's offices, I think, were behind it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
as you come around the corner there. And then Eddie Simpson had this airplane factory there. And we used to go off, and he had a field out here, the Exchange Club of Northville. I think rented the field out here on the Ponsford Farm, which is 6 miles and Beck, is it not, Doc?
No.
Was Beth Ponsford, which is Lappin's mother. Chuck Lappin's mother was Beth Ponsford. And that was the old Ponsford Farm. And they rented an airport out there, and that was for Eddie Stenson of Teskey's Plains. And this Elder Wolf, what was her name, Elder?
Ruth
Elder. Left from here, from that airfield, to go overseas, and they never found her. She was, they don't know what happened. It was about, they thought somebody shot her down, but they weren't sure what happened. She was trying to go on a trip around the world, wasn't she, with one of the Stinson aircraft? Well,
not the name of Elder. No, I don't.
Who's Elder? Well, yeah.
Earhart.
Oh, I'm wrong. You're right.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about somebody else.
No.
Did she leave from here?
She left from Ponsford right out there.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
That was Amelia Earhart.
Amelia. Yeah, you got it. Thank you.
It wasn't Ruth Elder,
but it wasn't she, no.
Was she a pilot also?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, she was. She went, I think, by herself, did she not? Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Oh, then the spring on South Main down there. It's pure spring water, and they used to call it Knox. No, let's see. Nibs. Knox. What was it? Knox Age.
What?
Knox Age.
Knox Age?
Yeah.
Well, now, how long has that spring been there? It hasn't been there.
Well, yes, that's, listen. That's got another, that's another story entirely. That spring was pure spring water. Back when we're talking about in the 20s. Then, when they went in and made a gravel pit over there, they disturbed the water balance, the water table.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, the spring was not spring water, it was surface water.
Mm-hmm.
So then they decided they better do something different with that. So they used to, then they used to get it from place a reservoir out here on Path Road, didn't they, Walter?
I don't know.
But anyway, they had to change it because it was surface water they were getting after the...
Oh, that when they dug the well?
No, yeah, well, it was after that, then they thought they better dig the well. So they did finally get well water.
Mm-hmm.
But... for a while, it was Detroit water.
Detroit water,
you can't.
Yeah.
It's not the same at all.
Water coming out of that faucet.
With just like ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, as I say, in Detroit, well, first, then for a while, it was in Detroit water. They piped Detroit water out. Well, then they thought that wasn't the right thing, so then they dug the well. At this point, I think it's well water, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. Now, at this point, I'd like on tape for you to introduce yourself, because I'm talking to both of you now. And,
yeah. Well, I'm in the line school, and I was born in Colorado. 1911, and my mother decided to move to when I was, I think, 67 months old. And we lived in Detroit.
Yeah.
Where I was born, right?
Tell me who you are.
Okay, I'm Walter Velasco, and as I
say I was born in Toronto in 1911. And my mother brought me over here at about 6 months. And we lived in Detroit for a while. Well, I said a while. We lived in Detroit for about until around 1930-something. And it was about that time, a little previous, that I met Velma out of the lake where we were going.
My dad had a cottage out there, and his family had a cottage out there. So we used to fight, you know, not Quinn in that way.
That's not North Dover Street.
No, that's not North Dover Street.
But anyway, I met her, and I used to come out here in the 30s, when she was still in school. I won't say where I was. But that was when my first experience with Northville was about that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have flashes of things that Velma talked about, the opera house and the dad store. And we used to have an old cane settee in the front that I spent many an hour in.
Well, everybody in town did.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about what I did.
Oh.
And the post office was right across the street.
That's
from this
right.
Place.
It was.
It was in Schrader's
building.
Or part of Schrader's building.
Yeah.
It was right next, just north of Schrader's funeral. Or funeral. Not funeral, but the furniture store. And
there was a bakery next to that.
Yeah, there was a bakery next to that. And right across the street, something on this side of Center Street that Velma didn't mention was the used to be where Cloverdale is now. There was
a Gaya's,
which was
a clothing store, which I worked for a while.
Yeah. And I don't know. You want to know about history? I guess when you get this far along, all you see is in flashes.
Oh, another thing.
That's okay.
That's exactly what I want. Another thing that I think we should mention, that where the Legion Hall is now was the Neal House.
Yeah.
And it was turned, it faced Center Street. And when the Legion bought it, they turned it around and bricked it. It was a white house, as I recall it, wasn't it? Right
next to Cash
Lane bought it, yes, finally.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was the old Neal home, Warner Neal and his family. Warner Neal went to the Washington Post, I guess, finally, didn't he? He wound up the Washington Post. Anyway, the Neal Ball Mausoleum, they had their own little mausoleums right up here in North on Earl Hill right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of Northville too then. And,
now when did you two get married? And did you
1941.
And did you've lived in Northville all the time?
No. I have. He hasn't. He went to the Marine Corps.
Well, our home base is that
way. Yeah,
way.
Mm-hmm. We were married one day, and the next morning, he went to the Marine Corps and was gone 28 months. I didn't even hear from him.
That was wartime.
I didn't know where he was, even. Really?
That was wartime, too.
It was wartime, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm trying to think who it was that lived across the street from Gasoline.
Lucille McKinney.
Yeah, and
the McKinneys. And
yeah,
he was a
right.
he did drain too. Anything that came into town from the post office. You know, the old days they didn't deliver anything, you had to go get it. And he used to do drain. There was in between the Methodist Church, there was an alley between that and the next houses. And Lucille McKinney lived there for a long time, and then they I think, moved her house down on the Graysons, or Lake Street, isn't it? The Graysons, Lake Street. And beside that was the McCann house, Sturry. And then next to that was the old Rickey's house on Dunlap Street. And the house that's down there in the old mill race, that they just moved in there,
Katie,
was the old house on Katie Street that used to be Lyle Wilson's dinner. Wilson. And they had a little poker club upstairs there. And they always had a big kind. Dr. Snow, Dr. Holcomb, and Wilson, and I don't know how many others. There was a guy clerk in Birmingham used to come and play with them. They played poker. So that's a historical house, all right.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't an inn. It was a private home.
Private
home. Calling it Katie Inn now.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. But it was a private home. Oh, yes. And Wilson used to have a little place on Main Street, a little place called, what was it, White Kitchen. Well, the eating place, wasn't it White Kitchen?
Was that the White Kitchen, or was White Kitchen next to the Port of Rest? So I don't think
so.
Or Peanuts. One of them was the White Kitchen. And the place she was talking about was on the north side of Main Street.
Where Getsy's Bar is now.
Yeah.
Just about in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was before they built the new opera house, wasn't it? Yeah.
Now, do they call you Doc or Mr. Belasco or what?
Call him Doc.
Okay, Doc. Tell me, at what point did you come back from the service? I mean, you have quite a bit of information about Northville yourself in your career.
Well, I didn't come back to stay until 50
or something, wasn't
it? No,
50 when
I
you graduated?
Got through school in 49, so I came back about 48. And I left the service then. And I had come back a couple of three times. In between time, various degrees.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Detroit, Jazz Tech, and Northwestern High, both of them.
No, I mean for your training, though.
Oh.
Oh.
I went to...
Went to Northwestern first. I got that all down here, too.
Went there for... I think I was there for two semesters, and then I went to... transferred over to Northern Illinois.
College of Optometry.
Mm-hmm. And I left there in I think it was December 49, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
You were over, I think so, something like that. Anyway, I came back for good then.
Did you stay here that time, or did you live in Chicago with him?
No, I was here. I worked at Baptist's place most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And did you, all of your practice has been in Northville then? You didn't?
Oh, yes.
Primarily.
Well, yeah. I've got that down here.
It was in mid-50s. When I came back, I worked for the post office, waiting for the opportunity to the state board, which didn't come up until about 50. And then I took that, and then I had to wait a little bit longer before I knew where I passed it or not. And after that, I was with Dr. Edgerson, offered me a place in the clinic. So I went there for, I think I was there for at least 10 or 12 years. And then I moved to an office over to the D&T store. Where Dr. Godfrey was, on the other end of the extension, and I was a dentist upstairs also. And I was there until 51 when I was approached by this opposite company with an offer that I couldn't refuse, or even feel I could refuse at the time. So I went to work for them. I was with them until 81.
Here in Northville?
No, they,
well,
I
they
was working
all
mostly...
Flint, Grand Rapids, everywhere.
I was mostly more of a...
Dearborn?
Supervisor capacity, advisor capacity.
They sent them everywhere.
Area. They would set up offices and they would get people in there to operate and just find them. But that was basically my job. And as I say, I was early one when I retired. But so I like anybody else who traveled, worked out of town, I was getting home to sleep.
Sometimes he didn't when he
What was the name of the optical company? Was it one of the ones that's still in existence?
Full National,
They're
a large firm.
It wasn't Full National then. The company that I worked for was Marco Optical. And they had units all over the country, and Full National came along and bought them out. And then I traveled even further into it. But,
he was in Grand Rapids a while, Wyoming, and he'd get home once a week then, maybe, if. Then he, for a while, was in Flint. He drove every day then. While he was in Ann Arbor, while he was in Dearborn. And
How long have you lived at this location?
Built the house in 51.
Clayton Walker and I and built it, and Velma was the Surgeon General in the course of the operation. But we got along.
I tell you,
just
I learned
Walker
by being alone
put it up,
for many years. I learned.
But of course we had help from different
Don Yerke, for one. He got sick in the middle of this operation, and I was out of money.
Don Yerke was owned a lumberyard.
Yeah, the lumberyard. And I didn't have any money, and he was in the hospital, and they didn't know what was going to happen. He was sick for 6 months, and I went to Don, and I said, well, what am I going to do? I said, I haven't got any money, I can't pay you. He said, Delma, you go right ahead and finish your house. He said, you can't sell it half finished. And he said, I'll finish the lumber if you can get Clayton Walker to do the labor. And he said, then you can sell your house and you can pay me if you can. And at one time, I think I owed him about $15,000. And that time, $15,000 was like a million now. But then even when he didn't have the proper, like, hardwood floors, he'd say, I don't have that kind of lumber, that good kind, so I'm going to send over to Ann Arbor and get it. And because what I have on hand here is not good. Now, he did this without ever a dime in the bank, you know? He was a very fine gentleman, I'll tell you. And Mike Allen, but the marbler. The marble
Allen Monuments.
Allen Monuments.
Mm-hmm. Doc, now tell me about the associations in Northville. I mean, you belong to a couple, I know, but what, along you were
president
tell
of
me
a,
well, yeah, but tell me about them.
How did you know that? Well, there's nothing to tell. I was in Rotary for, I don't know, 10 years, 11, 12, and I was president for, I don't know, a year or something anyway.
I don't know.
Has there been Rotaries in Northville ever since you've lived here, or did you?
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't started by
anyone? Oh, no, it wasn't started by anybody I knew. They did tell me once, but
well, didn't it used to be Exchange Club before it
was?
Well,
there was an Exchange Club there, yeah.
Business Association.
The Exchange Club was more of a business association.
Yeah.
But the Rotary, we used to have, Velma had, really, a dinner, or a breakfast, every New Year's morning for all the Rotary members. And, my wife and the police and fire departments would come up, you know. We used to have a pretty good time.
Must have been nice.
Some of the women would come up and help Velma. They'd come in around Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday morning they'd come tromping in here about 5 o'clock, you know, and they'd have to get things started about that time. So it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun as you look back at it.
Now, what did the membership consist of then, compared to now? Was it just a few members, or was there a lot?
No, I think it was probably about the same. I think there were more that were
active,
more interested in accomplishing whatever they set out to do. I don't think they had quite as many projects going as they because I don't recall that they had, for example, I think the Rotary's interested in the running thing. They had one for their head, one for their... it's just a matter of time, I think, you know, in terms of attitude. Times are different today. People are... I can remember when you'd walk down the street and there wasn't anybody who wouldn't at least wave their hand to you or come across the street and talk to you.
You knew everybody.
In fact, more than once I'd come home and tell them, I said, who was it you were talking to on the corner? You know,
kind of. Well, maybe I'd drive through and see him standing there.
Yeah, or somebody'd call her up and rag with her.
That's another thing. That was before the days when Rotary had women. We got an invitation once a year to their banquet, and that was all.
That only got women quite recently.
That's right.
I know.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, this is way back a long time ago. But anyway, we bought this corner down on where McDonald's is now, has their used car sales lot, and back in late
57. From Jeff. From Jeff Altman. That was the Altman farm.
It was just a swamp hole when we bought it. How many yards of gravel did we pour into that thing?
5 foot of gravel in there and let it settle before we paved it.
We built this drive and we went into it, or I should say I practically forced on that field because couldn't see how we could swing it, but anyway, I had a...
Poured every dime we could.
I know, but I had a feeling that these kids at that time in town, they had drive-ins every other place, and nothing here like that. And I thought, well, that'd be, you know, something for them to at least go to if they wanted to. So that was the basic reason for starting that thing, that got into something that was more of a family restaurant eventually.
Yeah, we finally closed the drive and fared out.
And then we closed that out, sold it, and what was it, 69? No.
Yeah, 16.
What was the name of the driver?
Delmar.
Delmar
Driver.
But then it was Delmar Restaurant later because we closed the drive.
Everything we had was homemade, and I know Delmar has been stopping to see more than once. Some of the people have been there in the past.
Well, they used to come from Toledo, from Gross Point. Those rolls and the bread and
everything
the stuff.
Had, did you do the cooking? Sure.
No, honey. We had 35 employees.
Everything we had was made. Mm-hmm. Like,
but it was homemade.
From soup to soup.
And I was a mean old woman, I'll tell you. They used to...
you continued with your practice, of course, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. You went right
on. What about you? Did you... manage it full time, or did you continue with working?
Well, I continued with working.